The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now, long ago, before Instagram and email and Facebook Messenger and Google Chats, my dad sent me a letter in the mail. I was at summer camp in Colorado, and I was 16 years old. I was living in the mountains for 7 weeks, studying piano and oboe performance with other high school musicians from across the country. It was a long way up the mountain and a long way from home, and it was not a summer vacation. In fact, we had to practice 4 hours a day, at least. Now, I went there with 2 instruments, so that was 8 hours a day of practice. And I was one of the last people to arrive at camp, which meant that I received the least desirable work assignment, which was breakfast duty, which meant that all summer long I was up at 5:30 making pancakes for hundreds of campers. It was basically boot camp, right? For people who thought that they wanted to be musicians. You think you want to be a performer? Survive this. After only a few weeks, I was already starting to doubt my decision in life. My teachers had high expectations, and the competition was really fierce, and sometimes it was mean. It was good that I was an oboist, because there are usually only a couple of us in the camp. And then the mail truck would arrive, and we would get the mail, and my dad's letter arrived, and it was written on there. It was a silly greeting card with a Far Side cartoon, and I feel like some of you here are too young to remember the Far Side. I don't even remember what the cartoon was on the front, but I remember what he wrote. And he wrote how he was so proud of me, proud of what I was doing, proud of me as a musician. And he encouraged me to seize the opportunity and to really commit to practicing and learning from my teachers. And he told me, most of all, to have fun. Because after all, I was there to make music, and that's supposed to be fun, right? A few short sentences on a silly greeting card, and it was just what I needed. A reminder of why I was there in the first place. I was there and I was working hard and sometimes struggling, and sometimes people around me were mean, and I stayed because I knew that my dad loved me. And I'm thinking about that letter from my dad today. When I heard the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the disciple Timothy. We just heard it a few minutes ago, but I'm going to read a part of it again. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Remember the gospel. In the same way that my dad reminded me of who I was and what I was doing and why I was doing it, Paul writes Timothy from his prison cell saying, remember who you are. Remember who loves you. Remember Jesus, who was resurrected in Jerusalem and born in Bethlehem. Remember the good news of the resurrection. Now, the situation at that time for that early Christian community was terrible. It was just really terrible. It was difficult. Followers of Jesus were being persecuted. False teachers were leading people away from goodness. Does that sound familiar? And preachers, like Paul, were imprisoned. I saw the news the other day that there was a pastor in Chicago who was shot in the head for protesting. Preachers today are being killed and persecuted for speaking the truth. It stands to reason that a disciple like Timothy might need some encouragement. That we might need some encouragement on our path, right? We need to hear the good news. That maybe that's why you came out here today, even though there's a nor'easter coming and it's hard to park, because we need to hear this good news again. To Timothy, my beloved child, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure lives in you. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That was from last week's reading. And this morning, Paul continues, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Remember, this is my gospel for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not chained. I hear these seven short words, the word of God is not chained, as if they were written for me today, as if they were written on a greeting card and arrived in the mail and came to me today, because I need to hear them. The word of God is not chained. Yes, people are being arrested in Chicago and in Waltham and around this country. Apparently, there's peace in the Middle East. In Arabic, we say Bukra fil Mishmish, which means tomorrow there will be apricots, and that's pretty much how I feel about that. I'll believe it when I see it. And still, I hope. And still, I hope. I hope that it's true. I hope that this is true. All around us, it seems the gospel principles that we are here to bear witness to are being taken down, imprisoned, right, by walls of fear and danger. Who could blame us for feeling a little bit like Timothy? Who could blame a disciple for feeling at times that maybe we just aren't up to the task? We're not up for it. Who could blame us for hesitating before following? And then we hear those words, the word of God is not chained. It's true that there are always powers and principalities that are working against love and mercy and truth. And they conspire against us all the time. And again, the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not chained because Christ is both crucified and risen. This is the good news. It's not just the cross. It's not just that we are suffering. It is that death is not the end. We know that life is the truth of God, and that love will win and is winning. And this is something I wanted to say, because I think sometimes we think about the word of God and the truth of God being out there somewhere. But the word of God is, the word of God is not chained. The word of God is amplifying the voices of all those who speak for justice right now. The word of God is lifting up the poor from the dust and freeing the oppressed. And the word of God is speaking to the lonely and to the grieving and to the suffering. And the word of God, God is saying, I am with you now, always, to the end of the age. So this morning, as we anticipate a storm coming and living through a storm that is raging in our world, I hope you hear that. That the word of God is with us right now, not somewhere else in the distance, but right now. And I give thanks for the love letter that I know as the Holy Scripture. A love letter which has traveled across centuries and cultures and languages to encourage us today. Thanks be to God for those words. We give thanks for the word of God which sustains us when we suffer persecution, for whatever we are doing, especially when we are speaking out for the sake of the gospel. And like the one person burdened with leprosy who turned back to give thanks to Jesus for being healed this morning, we are here because we are pouring out our thanks for that. Pouring out our thanks at the feet of the one whose death and resurrection and ascension have brought us here today. And so I want to invite you to go out and be living letters of love. We don't send many letters anymore, right? People send emails or an Instagram note or something like that. But could we be living letters of love to people in the world? Let us go out and share that with others. For the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the world that we want to have. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.